Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm speaking with Sam Shine, Director of Sales for Utility Recyclers International, a joint venture between Manitoba Corporation of Lancaster, New York, and Greenport Environmental Managers of Ontario. Sam represents the fifth generation of the Shine family to hold a leadership role at Manitoba, which is approaching its 110th year in business. Utility Recyclers is a leader in environmentally responsible recycling of electronic and metal scrap for utilities and their contractors across North America. Sam was recently named one of Family Business Magazine's Next Gems to Watch 2025, and he's also involved in a new SaaS venture called Freight 130, which helps businesses manage their supply chains more efficiently. Sam, welcome to Growing Up B2B. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you, Ed. It's great to be with you, and I'm looking forward to today's conversation. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome, Sam. So for those who might not be too familiar, can you give us, maybe do a better job than I did, a quick snapshot of Utility Recyclers International, what you do there and who you serve?
Well, I think you did a great job. And actually, I'm going to take you back about 109 years. So that was when my great-great-grandfather, who was an immigrant to the United States from Eastern Europe, he moved to Buffalo, New York. And because he didn't speak English, he couldn't find a job. So it's a classic immigrant story of he was extremely hardworking, started going around Buffalo, New York with a push cart picking up rags around Buffalo, and became actually ultimately the largest rag recycler in New York State. He eventually saved up for a horse and buggy, moved away from the push cart, and then opened a facility in Buffalo where we're still operating today. So Utility Recyclers is the part of the business that I'm working on. And as you mentioned, it's a joint venture between Manitoba, my family's business, and Greenport Environmental out of Canada. So my role within the JV is buying and selling. So I buy materials from utility companies directly, as well as their contractors who are responsible for smart meter changeouts. So as these old electric, water, and gas meters come out, new technologies installed, we're there to help recycle on the back end, the part that nobody really thinks about until you have a stock room full of these things. So that's when we get called in. And I've been doing that, just hit 10 years in the business.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
It's amazing the types of things that we don't appreciate that need to be recycled or could be recycled more in a more responsible way. And you guys capitalized on one that, yeah, a lot of people don't think about in their day-to-day, but it's a real requirement, right?
Absolutely. And we find too, a lot of people don't think of the whole supply chain picture. They know how critical manufacturing is, but they don't know the role that recycling plays into that in terms of feeding materials that become the new products that are so important to our everyday.
Let's go back a bit then. So you've been at this for about 10 years. So talk to me a little bit about that. What was the path that led you to say, okay, I want to do this and I'm going to be involved in Utility Recyclers as my focal point on behalf of the family business?
Sure. I grew up around the family business and always talking about it at the dinner table and family parties. My grandpa is involved in the business, as well as my uncle and my dad. So it always felt very close to home, quite literally, the business. I, for college, ended up moving away. So I went to Colorado State University from Buffalo. And at that time, really, I wanted to strike out on my own. I didn't have much interest in joining the family business, even though I was interested in business and in the industry. I wanted to do my own thing. So for 2 years, I was a freight broker for a logistics brokerage out of Denver once I graduated. So I enjoyed that. I learned a lot, but I was getting a little bit restless. And my dad called me one day and he said, "Hey, somebody who's been running our joint venture working remotely out of California just put in his 2 weeks. Do you have any interest in considering this?" So I took the weekend to think about it. Up until then, I hadn't envisioned that because I was happy in Denver, didn't want to move back to Buffalo. But luckily, my predecessor proved it could be done remotely. So I took the weekend to think about it, jumped on board, called him on a Monday with about 20 questions about the industry and what differentiates us, and decided to jump aboard.
Wow. I'm smiling because I too had to make the decision over a weekend.
Yeah.
It was much like yourself. I was taking a different route, and then my dad and I sat down. It was like a Friday, and he said, "You know, what if you come into the business? You can buy me out, and I'll teach you what you don't yet know." And he said, "And think about it quick, because I'm looking to sell it, and I've got some people lined up to talk to next week." So I had a weekend to decide.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of time while you're in it, and you look back and think, wow, it was a pretty big decision I made over the course of a couple of days. Yep.
Wow. So it sounds like then growing up, you certainly had a lot of exposure to the business, but it doesn't sound like there was an expectation or a pressure for you to join. Is that accurate? Like you basically were allowed to go off and take your own path, and then it was like a circle back. So there was no pressure on you, Sam, to say, "Oh, this is what you do. You're a shine, so you have to go into this business."
It's exactly right. And I credit my dad for that. He really never put pressure on me or my two younger siblings. It was always very much, we'll go do whatever makes you happy and we'll support whatever decisions you make. And actually, we weren't even allowed to join the family business without doing something first for a couple of years. So I think the timing worked out nicely that I had that experience before joining the family business. And but I totally agree. It was never a pressure situation, which I'm grateful for.
But and certainly a lot of past guests have cited a similar path where they've gone to a different route and then circled back to the family business at a later time. Talk about that for a minute, Sam. Like some of those years before you came back around, were you able to bring some of that knowledge back into the business when you rejoined under Utility Recyclers?
I was, and I always say, I think logistics was actually the perfect entryway into the recycling world. And the reason being is, like your podcast growing up B2B, both are B2B industries. You're learning the ropes of not only relationship building, but solving problems, being available to your customers, and being responsible for the outcomes. If a shipment is late, or if a load of recycled materials delivers that customer's not happy with, in both cases, you have to take responsibility and you have to make sure you improve going forward. So I learned all those critical lessons outside of the four walls of our family business, which I think was helpful. And just in the day-to-day, a lot of the recycling industry is supply chain and logistics focused. So I think that was really perfect entryway.
Yeah, it definitely brought a lot of relevant experience back in to the company. That for sure, yeah. So your dad's active. Your grandfather, was he active when you came into the business back like 10 years ago, or was he no longer involved?
Yeah, he was very active when I joined. He was CEO and a co-owner at that time, and he's actually still involved in the business today. So he's in his early 80s, comes into the office every day that he's in town. So very much still contributing, still coming in, and yes, he has been.
That's awesome. That's
Yeah.
awesome. So what, if you were to look back and maybe look to, what are some kind of life lessons or maybe quotes or sayings that maybe your grandfather or your dad had that really influenced you and shaped you as the leader you are today? What are some, how do they rub off on you?
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think of any specific quotes come to mind, but I think an overarching theme is just about reputation and how long it takes to build a positive and trusted reputation in any industry, really, but in the scrap industry too. It's very small and a tight-knit community, and everyone starts to know each other, and you know who's reputable and who's not. And they always just talked about how much work goes into that, building these relationships, and that it I forget which business leader said it, but that it could take 5 minutes to ruin a reputation that took you 50 years to build. So that's incredibly true in the scrap business as well. And beyond that, I was taught from an early age that our business is tough. It's not an easy business. It's low margin, high volume, and it's cyclical too, because it's depending on market conditions. So they've really taught me, I think, about survival in a professional and business sense, and that to be there over 109 years throughout world wars, the Great Depression, COVID most recently, and all the challenges that we face in terms of not giving up and making sure that when tomorrow comes, we'll be there.
So your grandfather comes in still, your dad's active. Are there other family members currently involved in any of the businesses?
Yeah, so my uncle Adam is also one of the owners of Manitoba. So it's him and my dad now are the co-owners. My grandpa's more in an advisory position at this point. And my uncle he's president of another sister company called Sun King, and they focus on electronic recycling. All three of us have our niche within the
I
business, which is
see.
nice. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So, by virtue of the fact that you're focused on one business unit, your uncle on another, your dad, it sounds like it's more spearheading the core business. Do you have much overlap with them on a regular basis? Do you guys cross paths in terms of your various roles?
Yeah, it's nice because we don't really step on each other's toes that way because we do have our focuses, areas of focus. But day to day, I really do communicate with both of them on a fairly regular basis. And both of them are constantly available if I have a question that something comes up. And then more formally, we try to meet at least quarterly, sometimes every 2 months as a group, meaning not only Manitoba, but Greenport as well, and review our progress for utility recyclers specifically.
Cool. So if in any of the day-to-day or the when you do overlap and say there's a difference of opinion or any sort of where you're not seeing eye to eye with another member of the family, how do you tend to bring things to resolution? How do you guys work through when everybody's not seeing eye to eye? How do you talk through stuff?
Yeah, it's a great question. In my role as utility recyclers, I'm an employee, so I do recognize at the end of the day what they say goes. But in terms of more informally, I think I feel very comfortable sharing my opinions or trends that I've noticed, and they really are incredibly receptive to hearing that and taking our feedback. And kind of an early example was the company used to be called Utility Services of the Americas. And I found that when we go to trade shows, people walked by the booth because they don't know what it is we're offering. So I remember early on, I said, we really should have recyclers in the name, I think, because it will demonstrate what we do better. So I went to them and I was pretty early on, so they could have easily said, hey, you're a couple of years in, what are you talking about? But they actually studied it and talked to some of our suppliers and customers and to see if it made sense. And we ultimately ended up doing that. But most of the time, we pretty much see eye to eye. And if not, we have discussions around it and make sure everyone's on the same page before we move forward.
Excellent. And it's different with different families, but let's just say you're at a family gathering. Is it okay or not okay to talk business? Is it fluid, or do you tend to say, no, we're now in a family mode, so we're going to stay off the subject of business, or vice versa? How does that work in your particular family?
Yeah, it's tough to separate it sometimes. I think that we do a pretty good job of if we bring it up, then it's pretty quick and we move on. So it's not like the whole dinner is spent talking about recycling meters or anything like that. But we don't have a very strict rule on that, I would say. It's more so when we're together as a family, we try to focus just on non-work related matters, but inevitably it does come up. So
Yeah, it can and it does.
yeah.
But it's good that you have a way to address it when it does, or do so quickly and move on, right?
Yep, for sure.
And we were just referencing a moment ago Manitoba, so utility recyclers being one of its sub entities, or actually in that case, it's a joint venture. And there are other, I'll just say, partner brands or sub brands of Manitoba. From a kind of a brand or a high level perspective, do they all kind of work together? Is there a unified story that they all tell, or are they all very much independently operated and doing totally different things?
Yeah, so in the case of utility recyclers, it's really its own niche, meaning that we're going after companies that Manitoba isn't in terms of sourcing material and then ultimately who's buying from us. But there are some similarities in terms of industry involvement, as an example. So Manitoba belongs to the Recycled Materials Association, formerly ISRI, and utility recyclers has really benefited from those relationships too, in terms of finding both suppliers and then customers for material. So it's in a way fishing in the same pond with a different focus or a different fish that we're going after, if that makes sense.
So there is a little bit of some level of, I'll just call it crossover, if you will.
Yes, yeah, I
Okay.
would say so.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So when you look more directly at utility recyclers, what are some things going on in the industry right now that are exciting you personally? What's like, hey, this is cool, or this is coming, and I'm excited about that. Talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, I think the whole reason behind the company or the whole need for the company was actually our Canadian partners found that in Canada, maybe 20 years ago, they were well ahead of the curve of the US at the time. They were replacing all meters with smart meters at the time, and they were focused on not only smart metering, but building a smart grid. So over the 10 years that I've come into the business, that's really been our focus is smart technologies and a smarter grid. Where I see it going and what interests me is electrification now. So we've started working with electric vehicle charging stations in terms of recycling those. So we think there's a lot of opportunity that way as more electric cars hit the road, and I think that's just getting started.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Yeah, that's going to be quite a that kind of recyclable supply chain that's going to show up from that. It's going to be considerable, right? They're everywhere.
Exactly. And beyond that, too, solar panels are something we're really interested in. I know a lot of people in the industry are talking about that now, but there's going to be a lot of solar panels coming out of commission over the next 10 plus years as well.
It's interesting that you cited Canada as being more progressive to that end. And I don't know what your take is, but I've often found that when I go further and wider beyond the US to Europe, other countries, Asia, for some reason, it always seems like they're way ahead of us always on the whole recycling game. I don't know. Do you find that to be true as well?
Yeah, I do. And I think it was interesting because our Canadian partners at the time said the US has to be thinking about this and we need a US partner. So that's when they reached out to Manitoba and we've been able to use our facilities in St. Louis and then Buffalo to handle these as they came in. But yeah, definitely have found that. And even aging infrastructure, I know that things like transformers and switchgear are being replaced en masse in other countries where eventually that's going to come to the US as well.
So there's so many, when you really start to broaden out the marketplace of opportunity for utility recyclers, there's so many channels you can go down, it would seem.
For sure, exactly. And we're
Exactly.
excited about that. It's what keeps us excited about it.
Bringing up another subject that seems to be on everybody's mind and seems to be touching all industries is artificial intelligence, AI. To what extent do you see it potentially impacting the work that you're doing at utility recyclers? Is it showing up in your world yet, Sam? And if so, how?
It's really not showing up too much in the sense of our day-to-day. Where we hear of it and think of it a lot is at a conference or people in our industry talking about making investments in either sorting technology. So when something moves through a conveyor, that it can look over it and say, oh, this is value, this does not, this might contain a battery, something to keep in mind. So there definitely are applications for the recycled materials industry. And I think that's going to keep growing. In terms of our day-to-day, we really haven't yet adopted a lot of that technology, but I agree with you. I think that's the direction things are headed.
And as a byproduct of what you do, is there like a recyclable stream of opportunity coming off of such a proliferation of data centers to support the massive glut of memory and technology to support AI? You're seeing a lot more development of data centers, and I'd have to think that there's some kind of post-recyclable something that comes out of that stream. I'm not sure if any of that would be relevant to the work you do, but maybe it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's relevant for our electronic recycling venture specifically,
Okay.
or that area of the business, I think is where we're going to see a lot of interest in that.
Okay. And the way that we first learned about you was when we saw the write-up on Family Business's Next Gen to Watch 2025, of which you were featured. What was that like being recognized by a fairly notable publication? And what do you think maybe helped garner that recognition for you?
Yeah, it was just a really nice honor to be recognized, period, but also outside of our own industry. So it was a unique experience that way, where I took a look at the list and I was one of 21 winners of that award. And just the breadth of the different activities that people are involved in and industries, and it was just incredible all across the United States and everything from trucking to machinery to recycling and everything in between. So it was just cool to be asked to participate in that. And I credit my dad for nominating me. It was really very nice that he took the time to do that. And I was thankful to Family Business Magazine that I was one of the winners.
That was awesome. Awesome. You've been at this for a number of years now. What would you say has been like the most rewarding aspect of stepping into a leadership role within the greater family business?
I think actually what's been the most rewarding is starting to build a reputation outside of my family's company and my dad and my grandpa, my uncle, and building my own reputation within the industry in terms of our trade association and getting involved with different committees, chapters within that organization. And I think just meeting, having the opportunity to meet other people with very similar stories of being in a 100-year-old family business or still family-owned, that would be harder to find outside of our industry. Being able to learn from them and come to them if I have a challenge or need help with something has been invaluable. So I think just that level of communication with people in our industry has been invaluable.
Nice. And on the flip side, what's been the most challenging aspect of coming into the, I'll say, the greater family enterprise?
I think for me, that would be working remotely, actually. So when I was a freight broker, I would go in every morning and we would be on East Coast time. I'd come in at 6, leave at 3, and I would work alongside people that I became friends with and close with. Now, in my current role, I work out of my house. So it's good and it's bad where I have the freedom and the flexibility, but it's tough in the sense of not having water cooler conversations and getting to know people more on a non-business level that I work with. So I try to take advantage of being home by going into the office or picking up the phone when otherwise I'd send an email. But that is a challenge, I would say, is being away physically from the family business.
And do you periodically come in though for meetings or other things? We go to HQ, if you will, for from time to time.
I do, yeah, both to our St. Louis branch and then to Buffalo as well.
Okay. So it sounds like with the various partner brands under the Manitoba name, it sounds like there may be a lot of soon to be tapped or currently untapped opportunities for some either cross-selling or shared initiatives. Are you seeing that show up as you're working on opportunities and seeing other opportunities that maybe would help one of the partner companies? Do you guys ever collaborate and things like that?
Yeah, we really do. If we see an opportunity, we think who would be best equipped to handle this. So sometimes it's an electronic recycling effort, sometimes it's utility related, and then other times it's copper. So it's trying to figure out as new opportunities come up, not only which company makes the most sense to handle it, but also where we want to do the work. So in the recycling industry, space is comes at a premium. So it's hard to sometimes organize those efforts where one month you could have what you think is a pretty predictable amount coming in, and then the next month it spikes. So you have to say, okay, we're going to have to reroute some of this material to our other plant. So there's a lot of logistics that goes into that as well. But yes, I do think all of our various JVs work, not only work with each other, but keep each other in mind should we come across an opportunity.
Awesome. And as you look up to the future a bit, Sam, what are some of the big like growth opportunities you're seeing for utility recyclers specifically over the next few years?
Yeah, I think as smart metering reaches almost 100% of homes, it's going to be a very interesting transition in terms of what comes next. Like I mentioned earlier, EVs are becoming a pretty big part of what we do, and I think that's going to keep growing. And then we're also actively thinking about other opportunities as well. Our Canadian partners, as an example, their primary focus is transformers. So we've started exploring some of that work here in the United States, doing that. And things like solar panels have really captured our attention in terms of what we'll focus on.
Nice. And is there currently anybody representing what would might be the sixth generation coming along? Is there a are they in the wings? Is there anybody that might carry the torch, another generation that's out there yet?
Not yet, actually. So I think that kind of remains to be seen. But certainly, we hope to be in a good position should that opportunity become available for them, that it would be appealing and an attractive opportunity.
Least leave the door open.
Exactly.
And
That's
much
the
like
goal.
yourself, having the decision to walk through it or not, or venture out. I found that very interesting that it was expected that you go venture out first before looking to embark on a path within the business or within the family business. And certainly in your case, it certainly paid off in the things that you were able to learn and acquire in terms of skills were, it sounds like, quite directly applicable to the role you're in now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting. My dad, when he joined the business, he graduated on a Friday, started working on a Monday, and he's been there for 40 years. So I think part of his thinking was to go and try some other things first, knowing that if it's a path you want to pursue, he'll be willing to explore that with me and welcoming.
And as the title of the company says, it's Utility Recyclers International. So it implies that you do business beyond, say, at least Canada, US. Are you, in fact, engaging in business in overseas, in Europe, or other locales around the world?
We have done some work in the Caribbean of meter changeouts. We haven't gone as far as Europe or Asia. And the name really comes from the relationship between the Canadian company and the American
Okay.
company is where it comes from. But we definitely are open to looking at opportunities outside of just US and Canada. But most of where we're competitive is areas closest to our plant. And then also we do operate in all 50 states where as long as the freight makes sense, then we can ship it to one of our two plants.
All right, got it. But before we wrap up, another question. If any of our listeners wanted to learn more about you or more of the work you're doing at Utility Recyclers International, what's the best way for them to connect with you, Sam?
Sure. So LinkedIn, I would say, is probably the best way to connect with me. It's just Sam Shine, and you'll find me under Utility Recyclers. And I would look forward to connecting with anybody out there who's interested in learning more.
Awesome, awesome. Sam, thanks so much for joining us today on Growing Up B2B. It's certainly inspiring to hear about how you're balancing that legacy of fifth generation and all the opportunities ahead with Utility Recyclers and the broader Manitoba family of companies. Again, we've been speaking with Sam Shine of Utility Recyclers International, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this is Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Sam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ed. It was a pleasure talking with you.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.